We are the mothers of many, Kiara Evans and Lorna Blanchard. As mothers of many children, we are curious about our parenting journeys. We were called to document this poignant time of mothering in our lives. We feel passionately that women's stories should be heard.
Okay, so this is going to be a bit different then. We are going to talk about, okay, well, you introduce it, because this is, yeah, let's claim this as yours. I'm going to cut all of that introduction shit out. Go.
No, I think you should keep that bit in. Okay. Really.
We haven't got a clue what we're doing yet.
Yeah, we're just winging it. Oh, someone made a lot of money putting that on a t-shirt, didn't they?
Winging it.
Mm-hmm. So I think that you and I think it would be good to have a discussion about my phrase that I have created. I don't know what the word is. The phrase that dropped in when I started doing some deep diving into myself, called soul CPD. Anyone who doesn't work in a professional like development thing, that's what CPD stands for, continuous professional development, because I couldn't think of another word to describe, another way of describing the work of looking inward. It's not therapy, because I'm not working with a therapist as such. It's a bit of working with a coach. It's a bit of reading. It's all just on, and it's me leading it, right? So me turning myself inwards to see what's going on underneath the hood, kind of thing, under the bonnet. So yeah, soul CPD. And I was like, we were going to talk about something else. And I just said to you, can we just, I don't want to.
Yeah,
that's what it's like working with me. Like a minute before we hit record, I'm like, I don't want to do that. And luckily, it's you, so you're like, that's
I
cool.
love it. No, I like working like this, and it's funny, because we were having this conversation like via voice note and text this morning of why are we on the soul CBD train, bollocks? Why are we doing this? Why is it even worth it? So. Yeah, that's why we're having this conversation today, because that's literally what we're talking about in our
day-to-day life. That's our morning text chat, isn't it, at 6 a.m.
Yeah, 6 a.m. And then I'll send you a quote from the book that I'm reading whilst I'm having porridge, ignoring my children swearing at each other, which is what was happening this morning.
Actually, that's good. I think we should like delve into that a little bit, the book, because I'm enjoying what you're sending me. I like, so Dr. Shefali is the person who wrote the book, and I've read her Awakened Family, and you're reading Radical Awakening. Which way round did we say? The Radical Awakening
Radical Awakening is her last one, yeah.
And I read her previous one, Awakened Family. Now, I read that at the time when I had done some work with a coach, Dawn Lucht, and her and I had been working together for a while. And then I started to discover lots and lots of different books, like ones by Gabor Mate, and Dr. Shefali came up, and I devoured Awakened Family. It's like full of my notes, because it just came to me at like exactly the right time, where I was like starting to look at how my makeup, I suppose, of how I respond to things was affecting my family. So that for me was like at the perfect time. And I feel like you're reading Radical Awakening at like the perfect time for you. It's really funny how different books, same author, different books, they just drop in at the right time, don't they?
Yeah.
And some of it that you're sending me, I'm fully on board with her, and other bits are just rubbing me up the wrong way.
Yeah. Well, and I said that, like, I like that in her book, she says that, like, the beginning of it is, the introduction is, I am going to rub you up the wrong way. You are not going to like a bunch of this. And then peppered through the whole book, it's another one of those, by the way, this is another one of those things that I'm going to really piss you off about, and I'm going to really speak to you, and you're not going to like it. And I'm here for that. I love that. I'm like, yeah, go on, trigger me. Bring it on.
I just think that's really interesting, because for ages now I've been saying to you, like, where are the elders, where are the people who lead, where are the people to like look to for the guidance, whatever. And I suppose she's kind of putting herself into that role, like she's very much a person who is sort of speaking her truth, and in a way that says, this is my truth, it's like this, and I'm not going to take necessarily your opinion on it the other way. Like this, I'm, you know, very much how I speak. And I think that's probably why sometimes she rubs me up the wrong way. So it's like that feeling of reflection of, oh, are you too much like that, Lorna? Do you tell people your truth and don't hear their side of things or take into account their humanness? You just kind of give them your opinion and don't read the room. And so I wonder if when you're reading me stuff, what is coming up for me, obviously every time we're triggered or whatever the word is, dysregulated or whatever, is about us. Something happening inside ourselves that means that we're processing it in whatever way that may be. So there's something about her radical awakening that is gripping my shit, for want of a better phrase.
Gripping your shit. Yeah. Yeah. I think she would be happy to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm really curious if we rewind just a minute and can we ask the question, why did you start doing soul CBD? Oh my god, what's wrong with me?
Do you need to do some CBD?
CBD.
CBD. You're saying the drug, you know, like the CBD oil.
CBD, yeah.
Not that.
I love CBD oil. Anyway, that's a different.
CPD,
that one. Why? What made you start? Yeah. Like, what was there a moment? Was there a day? Was there a thing? Yeah. What's the crack?
Yeah. So, I think mine was like a series of events rather than like one massive thing. You know how some people almost get run over or whatever, and that like makes them realize that life's here to live, and then they just change everything that they do. Mm-hmm. I'd say mine was more of a gradual shift into self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
From a few events, one being the birth of Willow, where I definitely had an out-of-body experience and saw myself from a different perspective. That's, it's hard to explain, but definitely an out-of-body experience. Which then led into like quite a long period of time of feeling very, I don't know. I don't think I had postnatal depression. I think that's too strong a word, like too strong a diagnosis or whatever you want to call it for it. I think it was a really long period of feeling low and frustrated and angry and lots of things, lots and lots of big feelings. I didn't really understand what was going on, like why I really wanted her. So why was it that I was feeling that awful about having her? As in like, not her being here, but like having three kids under five. What was it that was like, why am I not enjoying any of it kind of thing? And then I think it was a gradual process. And then we had like a quite a big shift in our family, like my family of origin, where we had like, I guess you could call it a traumatic event. That then led all of like me and my siblings, particularly to start looking at our history, our background history of our family. And that's when I started working with a coach, because I found that to be, I needed like a focus because I didn't really know where to begin. I've looked into different therapies before. I had a few meetings with different therapists, talked to a couple of different people. But that just felt like the best fit for what I wanted to do, because I like to have ownership over everything in my life. And for me, it was, I want to guide this. As much as I enjoy hearing what therapists have to say and stuff, I do think that's a really good route to take for some people. I didn't feel like I needed to go that far. I just wanted to have someone to reflect back at me what was going on and have some insights into that. And then it just kind of escalated from there, really. Because once I learned one thing, I was like, oh, now this and now that. And then I'd be like in the kitchen and something would ping in like, oh, why do you do that? Why do you always shout at the kids at like 4 p.m.? Or why do you think that way about certain people? Why are you being so judgmental? Like, what is it behind it? And I suddenly started to want to learn what was behind everything. You probably talking to me over the years, have seen that kind of start to happen. What did you think? Because we've known each other from before when I wasn't really aware of anything I was doing, and then now where I'm beginning to be way more aware of what I'm like.
It's really interesting looking back on our friendship and how it was very, I don't want to, the only word that I can think of is superficial, but I don't mean that in a really bad way. I just, like, it was about the kids and it was about the cake and it was about meeting together for Sling Library. Like, that was kind of, that's what we did. And that was great. You know, that was lovely. It was both where we both were. And it's been like one of my biggest friendship privileges ever for us to both kind of be on this like tandem journey, but at different stages for different reasons and for different things going, but why? And it's amazing. Like, I just feel really so lucky that we get to do this and that we, and I see this evolution in you. And sometimes, like, one of the biggest differences is for me is maybe a couple of years ago, if I'd kind of text you with a problem, you'd have gone, here's how to solve it. And then yesterday I'm texting you going, I'm really stressed about this thing. What do I do? And you went, what did you text me?
I said,
the answer lies within, young Jedi, or something like that. And I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, she's so inner and very good at kind of reminding me to go inwards because that's what she's fucking doing now. God, it's infuriating to like, no, it's not, it's wonderful. But you know, it's like, that's, that for me is the difference. It feels like, I don't know, maybe we've just grown up a little bit. You know, when you've got kids in the playground and they just kind of play alongside each other. And now I feel like we're like having an actual relationship where we can talk. And yet what's so magical about your journey and then mine is that they're separate and we can still talk about them. And that, I don't know, one of the most magical things is that you are so good now at holding boundaries and holding space for someone without, in particular for me, I can't really speak for myself, but I feel like you're so good at holding space and holding the boundary that I can kind of bring all of my shit to you and you don't absorb that anymore. Like, you're not kind of going, okay, I'm going to take it all on and I'm going to need to solve your problem. I'm going to need to do this thing. You're amazing. Like, that's what I've seen as your journey, like, incredible.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that yesterday, I think the other thing I said was, I'm tired today. So what I want to do is just fix your problem.
Yeah,
like, because that, I know that, you know, it's not going to fix your problem because ultimately I can tell you what my opinion is on it and you can decide whether or not that would actually fix your problem. But it's like, that would be my shortcut when I was tired now, just to like get to the crux of it or whatever. And now I can stop myself and be like, oh yeah, actually it's not my job to try and fix people's problems. That's, you know, yeah. But I think there's a few people, only a couple really in my life, where they hold me accountable for myself, and that's like, we hold each other accountable for ourselves while still being there for each other, which is definitely a revolution for me too. Like, revolution.
Yeah, because I think so much of the time, people, friendships, marriages, any kind of relationship, it's like, well, you can have a bad day, but then I can't have a bad day because we can only have space for one person to suffer in this moment. Or if you're having a really nice time, I better just keep quiet about my nice time because we need to let you shine. And I feel like we can just sort of tandem shine or have a shit day. Like, it doesn't matter. It's all, there's space for everything. I think that's pretty special.
That's such a good way of describing it. And I think that for me, so currently and where I'm at right in this moment, because I'm always so fixated on the fact that I'm going to change my mind tomorrow. Everyone listening, I change my mind every day. And I think what annoys me, one of the things that gets to me the most about the way we live as a society now, is that you're not allowed to change your mind. It's like, whatever opinion you had, you have to be there all the time. And for everything I've learned through doing the work on the soul CPD stuff, is that I am going to change my mind. I'm going to uncover something else about myself. That means I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to shift the direction that I'm thinking or whatever. I've lost my train of thought or my point. So in this current moment in time, the thing that has changed and improved my life the most, I would say, is my friendships with women. Like, that has been, so my inner reflections and deep diving into my soul have mainly improved, and I have less of them, but they are more delicious. What's the word?
Yeah, I think that's a great word, delicious. That's how I feel when we get to have these conversations. It feels like, oh yeah, love it. Yeah. It's like, oh, maybe it's like, that's like the evolution of our friendship. It used to be the cake. Now we have the cake and the conversation that's like, yeah, let's go there.
And the cherry on top.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so interesting, isn't it? Thinking about the types of friendships that you have. Do you think it's an age-related thing as well? Like,
I don't know. As you were saying that, I just thought, probably the way I do friendships has always been like this. I've always been like, let's go deep. You know, I'm not here for small talk. And actually, what's funny is looking at my girls, and they're the same. You know, Bethany just wants to go deep. Like, she just, let's have a good conversation. She loves it. Anna's the same. Anna said to me this morning, she hates playtime and lunchtime at the moment because everyone just runs around, and she doesn't want to just run around. She wants to, like, you know, have a thing to do. Yeah. So I think I probably always wanted to, like, yeah, let's go deep. Like, you know, when I was a teenager, I would hang out at church and go chat with the old ladies because they would talk about, you know, stuff, serious stuff. Love it.
When I used to drop off at a preschool in Colchester, not where we live now, but a different one, there was like a circle of women knitting once when I walked past the church, and I was like, I'm just going to go in there. I remember sitting with them for like an hour. I think I must have had two kids or one kid with me, I don't know. But anyway, it was just one of those like knitting groups. And I was just like, I had no friends at the time because we just moved to the area. I was like, oh, I love this. I love sitting here with these older women because they do have something to say. And in the playground after school, I spend a lot of time with one of the grandmas. Because she's lived life. She's lived all these things and, like, you know, wants to talk about all of them.
Yeah, tell us your wisdom.
Yeah. And just, I think that I am maybe not as great anymore. I am good at chit-chat. Like, it's one of my skills. I can chit-chat. But I think for my, because I guess with four kids as well, the amount of time we have is limited, right? So you've got to make sure if you've got any free time, you're going to spend it in a really nourishing way, like being a point of doing that, right? If it's, you know, so I think now if I'm spending that time having a discussion, I want it to be one that's going to really light me up.
Yeah.
Or change something about the way I think. It's a lot of pressure to put on your friendship, really, isn't it?
it is, you're right. But I'm a bit like, well, if we're going to get to this shit in 20 minutes time where we really need to go deep and figure this stuff out together, let's just get there. So come on, tell me your whatever. Let's go. I love it. I think it's great.
I think I get frustrated if people don't want to tell me their entire life story within like the space of 10 minutes.
I'm like, okay, so tell me your childhood trauma. If we could just have that context, that would be really helpful, because then we can skip, I'll tell you mine. Good, let's go.
That's so true. So this leads on to me and my judgmental side, right? So what you just said is brilliant, because I was just thinking today about my judgment brain that kicks in sometimes. So if I'm tired, if I'm overwhelmed, whatever, I get straight to judgment because it's an easy place for me to sit. I'm like, when I know though someone's history, when I've communed with them, when I understand what's going on behind the, you know, behind a lot of the behaviors, whatever that we display, I can skip the judgment. Like, I can understand, I can go to compassion quicker, but I really struggle sometimes when I'm in a situation where maybe that I can't get out of or whatever, that I'm chatting away and I think, oh, I wish I hadn't gone down that path. Well, I can get out of it, I could just leave, but I feel rude doing that or whatever. I'm like, I'm halfway through this conversation, I've given away way too much and the other person is not giving me anything. So now I'm like in this weird pace. knowing that potentially that person's going to use that information in some way or whatever. And I can't go to compassion about any of it because I've gone straight to judgment because I don't know anything about them. And I think I've always been someone that wants to not have secrets. I just don't have any secrets. There's nothing secret about my life. There's certain things that I will share with certain people because they're a very safe, that would go no further or whatever. But when it comes to like the day-to-day chit-chat, I would like to know a lot more about your childhood trauma than you are willing to give me in the first 10 minutes of conversation.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Yeah. I just really feel that. And I don't know, I think it's a very vulnerable place to be, isn't it, for you to share. And so then, of course, your defense mechanisms are going to be like, okay, we're going to be here. And maybe judgment is a defense mechanism for you of, well, shit, I've got no secrets and I'm sharing all of this stuff. So we better bring up some defenses because right now someone can attack me using this stuff. So judgment's going to be part of that to keep me safe, quote unquote safe, in this moment of sharing and vulnerability, because actually it is, it's a lot. But I think, I don't know, is it like how we were, I'm thinking again back to like childhood friendships and at school, everything's so cliquey, isn't it? Everything's about desperately trying to belong. And so then this kind of bitchy side, this judgmental side that comes up is almost like nurtured in that environment because everyone wants to belong and everyone's going to have that little bit of secret to have as a weapon against someone else. And it's all about survival, isn't it? And actually, whew, it's a scary, horrible, difficult place to be. And then women are set up against each other. Whereas what we're trying to do is change that and like have a different way of friendship and different way of relating to each other. And then, of course, old patterns of judgment are going to come in because, of course, they are.
You just unpicked why I had my wobble about our recording earlier. Like it's the vulnerability, isn't it? Of putting your thoughts and the way you live out there. And then because maybe I have in the past judged other people for some things they've done or not done or whatever, then I think obviously that people are doing that about things that I've said. And maybe they are. But ultimately, you know, for me and you, well, for me, I think you, this is the way that we are nourishing our friendship as well as hoping that it will nourish other people at the same time and, you know, give people some insights into what you're saying, a new way of connecting, a different way. Maybe it's not new, maybe it's ancient, but it's not common. What I want to do is show how we can relate to ourselves and each other. And everyone wins. Everyone is celebrated.
That's how I feel when I hang out with you. That's exactly how I feel, is everyone can be celebrated or held or, you know, loved on in that moment. That's exactly it. Yeah.
I think some people find that intimidating.
I do think so. And I think it comes back to that whole, like keeping score, and you can't have one person having a bad day when another person is, like, it's just, you know, you just can't. And I don't know where that, I guess I see it in my kids, you know, one person goes, Luke's like, I've fallen over, I've got a cut, and someone else is like, oh well, my cut's bigger than yours. It's like, okay, where's that coming from, and how can we stop that competition? I just at the moment I keep thinking, when we have very human reactions to things like that, I'm like, oh, we're just trying to be safe. We're just trying to survive. And it's like,
that's survive. Like me and my marriage. That's like Gary getting up going, I'm tired, and me every time going, but I'm more tired than you. Well, we can both be tired. We can both be tired at the same time, but it doesn't feel like that in the moment. It feels.
No, it's a really, I think that's a really hard one to balance, but I do. Yeah. I remember CJ and I, long time ago, like I think maybe we were just engaged, we'd seen a couple keeping score of each other, and it was like keeping score of, you know, who's taken the bins out and who's done this and who's done that. And he and I literally said, let's not do that, it doesn't work, it's awful, let's never do that. And so, and we just never have, because they're like, there's no point, it's just hideous environment to be in, so no one cares. It's like, oh, someone's gonna put the bin out, okay, whatever, let's not worry about that.
So yesterday Gary did a day in my job because I went on my third one school trip and he looked after Autumn for the day. And so this situation played out afterwards. So he'd taken care of Autumn beautifully, like as any most dads can do quite effectively, and taken her out and done things and whatever, and they'd had a great day. And so after, when we got home, he like displayed the kitchen to me and sort of was like, look at how tidy it is in here. And now I couldn't work out afterwards, because my reaction was like, what do you want a medal? Like, I do that every day. Kind of, I was very quick to just sort of be like, well, yeah, of course, because that comes with the role, end of, and like move on swiftly. And then I kind of pondered it a bit later, like, is it though? Because his role is not usually to do that. So I was trying to put it, I was trying to twist it around and go, right, if you went into his job for the day, would you have been able to handle everything that had come up? Now, let's not pretend that his day was hard, because he only had one kid with him, right? And he had someone to help him after school, me. So it wasn't like he was doing a full day in my shoes. He was doing like a 5-hour stint in my shoes. And I was like, well, probably I wouldn't be able to handle everything that came my way in his job. So therefore, does it deserve like a, oh, you did a good job cleaning the kitchen? I don't know. What do you think? Because
I think that like people around, like everybody listening to this is going, oh my God, yeah, I can think exactly of an example of that. So I think it's really common, isn't it? And I think a few things. The first one is, CJ sent me a video the other day, and it was, I don't know why he was looking at it, maybe something to do with his work at school, like, and it was basically some Catholic therapist, I think, talking about what do men want, what do men really want, and it was something along the lines of, and it was really lovely, you know, they just want to walk in through the door and be greeted by their spouse with a, I'm so happy you're home. And the day before, I'd said, CJ walked through the door and I was like, I'm so happy you're home. And it wasn't a, I'm happy you're home because now you can help me. It was, I'm just happy you're home. Like, legitimately, I'm just happy that you're home. And I think that, so the point of it was like, you know, they just, men just want to feel valued. And I think, doesn't everybody just want to feel valued, just want to feel like what I've done makes a difference. I'm trying to make a difference. But I think also our whole society is set up like to go, you don't have intrinsic value unless someone rewards you. And we have that from the word go. Oh, well, you know, oh, she's a good baby. Oh, now this toddler's on a fucking star chart. Now we're giving them a sticker at school because they've eaten all of their food. You know, Bethany got in the post yesterday a postcard from her school saying that she had better attendance. And first, we were like, what the actual fuck? Firstly, what a waste of money to post it. She was there 20 minutes ago. You know, if we're talking about school budgets, that's ridiculous. But like, everything is set up on a reward basis, isn't it? And then, so people are desperately, I need to have my thing acknowledged as valuable by someone else. Otherwise, it doesn't count. Yeah.
That's okay. So I messaged you this morning, like, what's the point of all of this work? Yeah. Where's my reward?
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. I'm like, okay, so I'm starting to look inward. I'm taking responsibility for my shit. Where's my reward? Like, and I think it is because the reward actually, if on a good day, is seeing how much more open I am with like my emotions, and not in like an uncontrolled way, but in a, oh, that's nice to experience that. And oh, you're feeling a bit angry. Let's see if we can rein you back in a little bit. That kind of way, but also how much closer I am to the kids emotionally, how I'm beginning to interact with Gary in a different way, or hoping to, definitely different to like 10 years ago anyway. so I can, on a good day, you can see all of that. And then sometimes it feels like no matter how much inner reflection I've done, I'm struggling to see the wood for the trees and why I'm doing it. Because in some ways it was a lot easier when I didn't know anything, because I didn't know I was numbing. I didn't know I was in survival mode. I didn't know any of that stuff. So I just plowed through and I could ignore it.
We've definitely had several text messages going, I'm so sick of my own head. I'm so sick of this self-improvement, self-discovery bollocks. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of realizing that my reaction to something is wonky and I could do something about it. I'm sick of it, because it takes so much energy to want to go down a different path. But I think for me, the reason why I found myself on this journey is because I hate feeling anxious. And I really felt, I still do, I really struggle with anxiety. And, you know, to go deep there, I know that it's because of childhood trauma stuff. I absolutely know that. And it's only been really recently. I mean, I've always kind of gone, oh, that wasn't quite right. But only in the last couple of years, I really looked at it like face on and gone, oh, that makes sense. Of course I'm behaving like this. So it's been like a process of, first of all, identifying that I have this issue with anxiety, and then going, oh shit, it's playing into my parenting big time. Like, I feel like my mothering, especially for all the years, it's like I'm a walking, talking trigger, like just a trauma response. Like all my behaviors are just some kind of trauma response. Sometimes it feels like that. And I get so bad with anxiety at times that I just want to climb out of my own skin and run away from myself, because it's just awful. And I'm like, surely there's got to be a different way. Surely this isn't how I've got to do the rest of my life, of just feeling this wretched in my own body. I just don't want to be this way all the time. So, is my reward. My reward is like dangling in front of me going, it won't always be like this. I don't know, that sounds very selfish, doesn't it? But it's just about me that I want to feel not so wretched.
I think the problem with a lot of us, I think one of the challenges that women face are the fact that being selfish to us is not acceptable.
Yeah.
When actually, if we were a bit more selfish sometimes, or self-worthy, or dedicated to oneself, just even a tiny bit, would probably shift so much of that feeling of it's selfish. And I definitely have, maybe not as much with the selfish, but with I understand the feeling of not wanting to be in one's skin, especially with anger. Like mine's anger. Like for years, I was just bloody angry with everyone for doing it wrong, not doing it right, doing it the wrong, like doing it a different way to me, and, you know, getting in my way or not doing something I wanted them to do, and just like very disillusioned and angry with most people in my life for not living up to the expectations I'd set them. Just a lot of anger. And now I have a lot less anger. There is still anger there, but it's a different experience and not always related. Now I understand it's not the other people in my life creating the anger, but the anger is coming from within me, which is such a huge shift, isn't it, in your headspace, between I'm having this done onto me, or this is coming from within and it's my responsibility.
Yeah
big time. That was huge. That was the biggest, I think that was the biggest light bulb moment in the last like 5 years, that every single thing that comes out of my mouth and every single experience I'm having within myself is my responsibility.
Yeah.
I think my family are really sick of me saying that to them, that it's your responsibility how you behave.
Yeah.
They don't like that.
No, because it's we don't want to be seen as the bad person. And so it's very easy to just go, well, I feel this horrible, difficult feeling, and I'm just going to lump it on someone else and blame them, because that would be easier than me owning the fact that this thing's pissed me off and I'm really angry now.
Do you do that with anxiety? Well, not now, but like in the past, have you done that with anxiety, like blamed it on anything other than?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. And even like, so my current state of anxiety is my goddamn accountant has still not submitted my corporation tax return, which is due next Tuesday. And this time last year, I was crying. I looked at my call logs to see what date it was this time last year that I had to do the same thing with him. I need a new accountant. I will do that. But this time last year, I think I called 5 or 6 times in one day to try and get hold of him, and cried down the phone at the receptionist twice. And it was very much like, I'm feeling anxious, and I have convinced myself that if he doesn't get it done now or 2 weeks ago, which would have been my ideal, I'm going to go to prison. Something terrible is going to happen. You know, all the bad things. And I was like fully on board with that narrative that I'd created for myself, that was, I'm so terrified and we'll just, you know, this fear is so big, this anxiety is so big, we're going to create ridiculous stories that are obviously ridiculous. And this year, I haven't cried. I phoned once today and I've not heard back. I'm not going to phone again. I'll maybe phone again tomorrow afternoon if I don't hear. He'll get it done. And I am still telling myself all of the story. Like, there's part of me that's still going, you know, the anxiety is still saying to me, something bad is going to happen if you don't get this done. It's not going to be done. There's a massive problem. It's all your fault. You're a terrible person. You're stupid. You know, all the things. And this year I have been able to say, oh, that's anxiety. And that feels really big, because it means that I'm not, like before, I'd have just gone, I'm staring down into this pit of anxiety and I'm just going to throw myself into it head first. And I'm going to allow my whole life to be completely taken over by the anxiety of this moment. And it doesn't, you know, CJ would say, it doesn't matter what the thing is. There's always something that I'm like, well, let's just head down into that anxiety pit. Whereas at the moment, I feel like I'm at least seeing it for what it is and going, that's anxiety. Okay. I have a choice now. I can either throw myself into the pit or I cannot. And the voice that's telling me all the horrible, negative, scary stories is actually bollocks. It's just bollocks. It's just annoying that it hasn't fucked off.
That's amazing.
I still got to do the work and go, oh, hi, anxiety. I've been expecting you.
Although, yeah, let's not like forget to celebrate the fact that the amount, like this immense amount of fucking work that you've done in a year to go from that to,
yeah,
that.
To that point, yeah.
To be able, yeah, to say, like, label it of, like, me with my rage, like, right, oh, that's anger coming. Anger's coming. Anger still does come, you know? Like, I'm not at the stage where I can intercept every emotion before it flies out of my body. I'm not at that stage. Maybe I never will be. Who knows? I don't know. But let's celebrate the fact that via the work of Soul CPD, I'm doing it now. Via the work of Soul CPD, you and I have shifted enough to be able to identify and say, that is that happening. And it's not always a choice to go down that path, whether it's rage, whether, yeah, it's anxiety, whether it's, I don't know, numbing, whether it's whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to consciously choose to go there sometimes still.
Yeah.
But it's not like I'm on a train and it's just heading there anyway. And there's nothing, yeah, that's going to stop me.
Yeah. And I mean, I can feel it in my body now. Like, I can feel, I'll think, he's going to email me, I've got to phone him. And I can literally push it out of my body. I can feel the choice. It's like split in my chest. I can feel going down that way or going this way. And the other thing that I was thinking when you were kind of saying, what's the point in all of this? And okay, this might sound really wanky, but I just kind of feel like, I don't know, I look at a lot of people in the world and I want to know their reason for doing things. And in my head, I'm always like filling in the gaps going, oh, well, this person's doing this thing because it's turning the cogs on society in this way. It's doing this, it's fulfilling this need for this person, so this person can do this thing. Like, I like to make these stories up in my head. And I was thinking about it in terms of the work that we're doing, and that maybe sometimes we can't see it, but this is necessary. And this is bigger than us. And I'm okay with that, taking that. I mean, that does sound wanky, doesn't it? Does that sound really self-important? But that we
I just need to interrupt you.
Yeah, go.
Like, I literally left a voice note to a beautiful friend earlier saying, I'm sick of this shit, like learning all this stuff about myself. I know there's probably some like higher spiritual purpose or whatever, but yeah. I don't understand what my part in it is. Then message you, because that's the answer, is that we're not necessarily aware of what that is going to be a catalyst for yet.
No, we don't know. And I think maybe you might not ever know, but you have to just do it, do the work, because I feel like the whole world is so broken, and we are part of fixing that. And the only way we can do that is by, you know, like right here, right now, the way I speak to my children, the way I speak to myself, the way I deal with my accountant, the way I do my business has got to be different, because actually the way the world is going at the moment is not okay. But yeah, I want to change the world, but like in my small, tiny little corner. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with not really knowing why this is important, or not really knowing how my life is going to be part of this, but it does feel part of something bigger. Yeah.
Do you think that your history in the Catholic Church has given you the skills to understand, to have that as part of your personality?
100%, because the whole... Yeah, because so much of being Catholic in particular is about vocation and about, yeah, higher purpose, and about there must be more than this. There is more than just me going to Lidl today to buy the stuff that we know. There's more to life. There's more. I have purpose. I have vocation. I have a mission here. Don't really know what that is, but I'm going to do my best to sort of live in alignment with what feels good and what that mission is at some point. Yeah.
I think I struggle with the not knowing bit of that piece. Yeah. And I think that's where, like, not having I guess a spiritual background, or because we all have, like, if we've grown up in the UK, right, we all have a lot of us who live in the UK have had a Christian upbringing, because in school, especially if you went to a Church of England school, you had that as your main religious input. If your family is not practicing in any other religion, right? So if you came from a family where you're not practicing a religion, the only experience of religion or faith that you have is through your schooling, which is pretty much where most of us get that from, the majority of people I know. If you didn't connect with that, and through certain times I have connected with the Christian church, I've been a part of choirs, I went to church on Sundays, like, my parents were horrified. What do you mean you want me to take you to church on a Sunday? I was like, I just want to be in the building. I just want to go there. And we did that for a while, and it kind of didn't really click, and there was nothing keeping me there. It wasn't interesting to me for long enough. But even then, as like a young child, I was looking for that faith, that like understanding of the higher purpose. And I still think that's something that is not necessarily embedded in myself, of understanding fully that I'm here for something. Maybe
that's
because,
so
I like to have an answer. I want to know what.
Well, you're saying that you want to know what your mission is, and I don't care what my mission is. I would just like to know that I'm doing it right. that's how I feel. I don't care. Just give me can I have a report, please? Like, honestly, I've said to CJ so many times, I am desperate to sit down with God, whatever God is to anybody, you know, my belief in God, and go, am I getting it right? Can I just check in on, am I doing it right? I don't care what it is I'm meant to be doing, but just did I do a good job? So desperate for the reward, aren't I? So desperate for the validation from, well, God would be fine, because I remember having therapy once, and the person I was having therapy with, he said, you know, when would you be okay with what it is that you're doing? Like, who could tell you that you've done it right? And he's like, the Queen. Well, obviously not now, but, and I was like, yeah, kind of, but no, not the Queen. Like, I need, yeah, some eternal power to say, you've done it. Well done, my good and faithful servant, is a biblical quote, isn't it? Yeah, can I have that, please?
Yeah. Okay, so that pretty much sums us up, doesn't it? I want all the answers, and you want to know you're doing it right. That's good. We're plenty to work on still on that soul CPD, plenty to work on there.
Okay.
So say that that's the case, right? So I guess this is good. I needed this conversation today because I was in a bit of a funk. So what's my next step then? Right, okay, so I have two angles on this. One is that because I've spoken about human design before, and I am like a massive advocate, and I do think that there's something in it. Maybe I don't want to live by it like all the time, but there's certain things that come up, and there's a manifesting generator, which we both are. We are very much like not designed as such to never shift or switch or be like, I'm so rubbish at the language around this. I really need to do a course or something. So I have language to talk about it properly. But anyway, I wonder if part of it is that I probably am not going to know, because it's not a calling to be one thing. So my way of interacting with the world is to respond to what comes to me and to go with what feels good. So at the moment, heart-centered business meets are feeling good. Podcast is feeling good. So I'm doing it. So the answer of like, what's the higher purpose to that is, I don't know, because I can't see the future. I just can tell if it feels good right now. I need to just maybe be comfortable with that, because right now, okay, so let's just do my itinerary that I do in my head. I have four beautiful children that I am relatively comfortable with the way I'm parenting them 80% of the time, whatever. Okay, good, tick, tick, tick. I have a house that I live within and enough money to buy food right now, tick. And I'm doing things with my day that, you know, most of the time make me feel good. I think there's still some work to do around that, where like it's just me and Autumn a lot of the time, and I do feel a lot of boredom now. So that's another like level of that. So there's a lot of ticking going on, but yet I still am searching. What is that? Is this where you tell me to pray?
Yeah, kind of. All I could, and this is what I said to you earlier on, wasn't it? I went meditation, because I'm not going to do it. I just feel like maybe an answer to both of our states is, because you don't know the answer to what you're meant to be doing, and I don't know the answer to whether or not I'm doing it right, is we have to go inwards. Isn't that what everyone, that's what people say, isn't that you go inwards and go figure out what's in alignment for me and what does feel good to me, and pause and think. And I think that probably some of that comes from silence, some kind of meditation, journal, I don't know, something like that. I don't do any of that.
Did you just say silence?
Jesus. Yeah, and but then, you know, I could have silence. I could run. I run many hours a week. I could run in silence. I refuse to, because I'm numb, because I know I'm not okay with being with my own thoughts just yet. So I listen to podcasts that tell me I should be thinking my own thoughts. Whatever. Yeah.
I just find it boring. It's not that I don't want to sit with my own thoughts. I just don't find them particularly like interesting. And then I get bored. But what I need is my version of a church, because I don't want to sit in silence alone.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, religion is, so, okay, we've spoken about this briefly, but like my view of spirituality, let's not say religion, because I don't subscribe to organized religion, but my view of spirituality is that I am God, and God is emanated through me. And the things I do and choose to do in this life are part of that cycle. Yeah. And then I go, and then the energy is put into something else. This human form is gone, and then it goes into something else. So that's the way I believe. So whilst I'm here in this human form, the way I worship is dependent on what feels good to me. And I know that, like, being around other human beings is a form for me of worship and communing. So I need like a church, but I don't want to go to church because I don't. So I need like a thing that I do in the week, I guess, or whenever, that feels uplifting and nourishing and joyful. And, you know, the way I feel after we've done a business meet, or the way I feel after we've recorded a podcast, I need more. I want more of that somehow. Yes. And that's where I'm at right now. I think I need some more time as well, just doing stuff with people that's enjoyable, but not necessarily taxing for the brain, you know, just like maybe walking, maybe. But I feel quite alone at the moment. Like, there's not a lot of people around in the week to do those things with when I have the most free time, or the time with just a toddler. So I need to find a way of worshiping on my terms, because if I'm God, then this is where I worship, in my body.
And I, that was, you know, one of the other things that we were talking about earlier on, wasn't it? The, when we were messaging, was it feels like the energy around the place with a lot of people, a lot of women who are on this journey alongside us, are feeling a bit drained at the moment, and are feeling maybe a bit tired. And maybe it's because they are having to share a lot of themselves and have had these moments of awakening, and then do share, and then they run dry. And I feel like that's something that I definitely see in, like, the lives of the saints. You know, if you think about spiritual giants, Teresa of Avila comes to mind, you know, a really famous saint, and she had what she called dark night of the soul. So she had no connection with God for years and years and years and years and years, and it was tormenting, it was awful. And I think then, so I think first of all, that experience is of emptiness, of dryness, spiritual dryness, whatever that means to you, is something that is historical. Jesus went into the desert, but there, you know, that it's a thing, which I find reassuring. And then I think also people do literally turn to religion for that, to kind of give them something, don't they? And I think at the moment, what a lot of us are trying to do is, I mean, even I posted on my Instagram stories yesterday, someone give me a book recommendation. I need the next hit of, where do I go to next? Like, what's my next learning in all of this? Because I can't just suddenly stop. And it used to be for me that it was church. And I think it still could be church for me, but I have a wonky relationship with the old parish priest here. And it wasn't enough. Like, it wasn't enough. But there have definitely been times spiritually when I've had really beautiful worship moments that were like what you're talking about, that kind of nourishing, filling up. And actually, you know, studies have been shown that during worship, during those kind of experiences, group gatherings, there's like an increase in alpha waves, right? These people having spiritual experiences, it does do something to your brain. So yeah, more something, more worship, more whatever that is. Music, art, walking, like awe and wonder, you know, some woods, I don't know, that kind of thing I do think is needed. But I think then human connection as part of that is kind of helpful. And then to have someone else doing it, almost leading you through it, right? I think that's the thing at the moment. We've just got all these women trying to be, who are being looked at as leaders. Like, even with the heart-centered business meeting, you're a leader of this now. So although you're going to be nourished by these meetings, you need something else outside of the meeting to nourish you so that you can do the nourishing within the meetings, rather than hoping that the meetings give you nourishment. Like, that's a wonky way around of doing it, right? What's the thing?
Yeah, because I started going to a play group again for the first time in a very long time. And the best bit about it was the older ladies there who give out the teas and coffees.
Yeah.
Because it's the thing that you go and someone's done it for you and you just join in.
Yeah.
That's kind of like what church is, right? Like you go and someone puts something on.
Yes.
They direct you in your worship. Whereas when you're creating your own religion or your own path for worship or whatever, you're still out there really like fumbling around. Like there's not necessarily somewhere to go. That's how I feel. There's not really like a place or a, I don't want to be a Buddhist. I don't want to be, you know, I don't want to start going somewhere that's already there. I want to create the thing or have ownership over the thing so that it is aligned to the way I believe.
Yeah. And I guess I just feel a bit less, it's so funny because, so yesterday was Ash Wednesday, so the first day of Lent, and CJ came home and went, oh, should we, for Lent this year, should we pray together? And he and I used, you know, like old school God squad, he's an RE teacher, I was a school chaplain, we met at a retreat centre, you know, and we used to do it all the time. And we would pray like night prayer together, which is a set of prayers written by, you know, we have a beautiful books and it's all written out and it's per day. And it's very, very short. And there's like a formula to it. And the idea behind it is that you read through the same stuff, you know, day in on day. And that, but it leaves space in your brain to kind of have like meditation and thoughts. And as we would, and so we did that last night, and it was just lovely to kind of come back to something that I didn't have to create, that I was like, oh, these words are just lovely. And at the end, you're meant to have a Marian anthem. So you're meant to kind of have a prayer to Mary. And it got CJ and I talking about, you know, the Catholic Church's tradition of Mary and all of that kind of stuff. And I just sort of said, I don't really care. Like, I don't, you know, the Catholic Church says one thing about Mary and I don't really care. It doesn't bother me. I'm just happy to be part of this moment of let's do what it says in the pages and have it for what it is. It doesn't need to completely be something that I would create. I'm just happy to lean into it and just go, I'm going to just enjoy this experience right now. And it was lovely. It was really nice. It was nice to have something to almost to go back to kind of come home to and go, I need this spiritual moment, whatever this is. Yeah, it was nice. I got the words wrong.
You're rusty.
Very rusty. I know. Super rusty. It's been years.
I think I'm inspired. I need to do an inventory. I've just written it down. It's time for an inventory. That's what it means to go inward for me. I'm going to inventory my life.
Yeah, I love that.
I just want to sit down and go through like where I'm spending my time. Where am I putting in spiritual practice? What is it?
Yeah.
What do I want it to be like?
Yeah. Because it doesn't have to be silence. It could be doing a walk, or it could be doing your night prayer, or it could be a morning tea ritual. Whatever.
Yeah.
And I think prayer doesn't, I think we hear prayer and do we then think, oh, religion. And for me, that's religion. Like, we're going to use night prayer written by the Catholic Church, prayed by millions of people throughout the world over 100, you know, I'm like, that's cool. But for someone else, prayer might be something completely different.
Yeah. Cause I bought some Easter eggs for the kids earlier. And I put, because there was a sale on, and I was just like, I'll do it now, because every year I'm not going to buy them it. I don't want them to eat the sugar. I don't subscribe. I'm not Christian, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, the kids are quite into faith because they are at a Church of England school, and they, you know, Fern's doing an Easter play this year. So she's like, she's one of, I don't know, the people in it. And she has to deliver some lines, and none of which I'm particularly on board with. However, they love the doing it with other people bit of it.
Yeah.
Like, they love getting the eggs because they know all their friends are getting the eggs, and then they can go back and have that in common with them to speak about. So I bought the eggs because I was like, it's part of growing up in the UK. Like, that to me is how I kind of am okay with it right now. I don't want to withdraw them from like everything societal, so that they feel that they don't have anything to connect with other people on, because it's quite a big deal celebrating Easter. And we, you know, I try to call it spring celebrations as much as possible rather than Easter, because I massively celebrate the beginning of the spring and the new life and the cyclical nature of us as human beings, and that we live in this like world where we have different seasons. I love all of that. I was saying that to you earlier about feeling like me just being aware of my cycle, like my own personal cycle and the cycle of the world now, doesn't feel like enough, because I'm very like in tune with myself now, and I know like where I'm at in my cycle. And like at the moment I'm in my post period dip and low, where I feel like quite want, is that the right word, and not like very connected to myself. And I feel like, do I have to do this for the next 20 years? Is this like my cycle? Like there's got to be something. I'm like, I feel like there's a piece missing still there for me, where I'm like, I'm so massively affected by my hormones that my cycle literally overwhelms me maybe like 6 or 7 days a month. Not all at once, but like, you know, the 3 days before my period, the day one of my period, and then my ovulation, 2 days over my ovulation, like so many symptoms. And I know there's diets and there's this and there's that and the other. And I'm like, well, yes, but also I think there's something, I'm here as this fertile woman, which I am, I've had 4 children. There's something there that's saying, you know, you're here in this cycle. It's here to teach you something. I'm just not making the links yet of like what it is and how to utilize it to my advantage. And that kind of interests me and also frustrates me every month. And I think as much as possible this year, I'm going to keep relating the springtime to the new life bit and speak to the girls about that and the fact that we worship Mother Nature. Part of me thinks I'd love to be pagan, but there's just not enough people around me to like do it with me. You know, like I'd love to go to like an equinox thing, but it tends to be like circles or things for just women that you pay for, which is great, but it's more everything. If you go off piste and you don't just celebrate Easter with your family, you have to pay for it or you have to set it up yourself. It's not just there. Anyway, sorry, I've gone off on a bit of a tangent.
No, I think, I wrote down, I think community is a big part of it. And I think for me, thinking of Easter, I feel it, like I feel utter joy because the Triduum, so Good Friday, Monday, Thursday, Good Friday and Easter Saturday, the 3 days over Easter are like my favorite days of the year because it takes you through such a high of emotions, like as in going to church those 3 days. And to be part of it, so when I was a teenager, I was an altar server, and so I was like really part, like really in this, and then I would do choirs and like to really feel those feelings, but as a community, and also knowing that the whole of the world, the Christian world, is celebrating these moments and having these same feelings. It almost doesn't matter what you believe about, you know, Jesus, or like it's that sense is so powerful of everyone here is feeling, is part of this experience. It's something incredible. Like on Maundy Thursday, at the end of the service, you strip the altars, you take everything out of the church. So no furnishings, no crucifixes, like everything's taken out, and it's done in absolute silence. And it's one of the most chilling but thrilling, like powerful things, because everyone's like doing this thing, like we're all here to like do this solemn thing. And I think those are the kind of words that I read so often in these awakening books: reverence, solemnity, you know, all of those kind of words. And I'm like, well, the church has been doing this for ages. Like I resonate with these words because as a church person, like this is what we do. We do reverence, we do solemnity, we do sovereignty. Like this is exactly it. We do worship and genuflecting and all, you know, that's, I love that kind of stuff. And I do think that's a real, there's something really human about being able to do those things together.
What's genuflect? What's that word you just used?
Genuflecting. So when you kneel down Generally you would do that when you go into church and you kneel down in front of the Blessed Sacrament and just like a little curtsy to God. But I read it in whichever book it was I've read recently, and it was talking about almost self-genuflecting, like doing it to yourself, like you're talking about, which I think is a really beautiful
practice.
Yeah, as you know, and as a Catholic, I wouldn't say that I am God, but I would say that I am made of and by God. Like, that's my belief, is that God created us, and so we are beautiful God creations. Like, so yes, let's have some self love a little bit and some self reverence, I think, would be a really good thing to have. I think the other thing that you said about when you're talking about your cycle and you being impacted by your cycle, I feel like this is a societal thing where society goes, oh, you're just hormonal, oh, you've just got PMT, you just are a, you know, raging woman because of this, and in a few days you'll be okay. My personal opinion at the moment is that on those days when you in general, womanhood, whoever in general feels those things strongly, you need to damn well listen, because those are the truth things. Your body knows the truth. And in other times in the month, when maybe your hormones are not spiking so strongly, you can be more tolerant of things that are breaching your boundaries and that are not in alignment with you. And when you've got PMT and your hormones are kind of helping you see things for what they are, we need to listen. I just hate the idea of women being disregarded as, oh, you're just being hormonal. No, I'm absolutely fucking right, and you damn well need to listen to me. And my hormones are here to tell you, you need to fucking listen today, because I cannot tolerate this anymore. But with the whole awakened, we've got to do it in a nice way, have we? I don't know.
Well, it's like the whole, I was just thinking about what you were saying about the religious practice and celebrating the death and rebirth, right? It's like every month, I'm having a freaking death and rebirth. It's exhausting. Right. And then I was like looking back at my notes from what you said before, I was like, yeah, because it takes energy to do that. And my energy is like then put into that death and rebirth every time. And without the appropriate nourishment, whatever that might be, you don't necessarily want to celebrate that. And it becomes an inconvenience rather than a celebration. And to me, like, the religious festivals can be frustrating because it takes my energy away from what I actually do want to celebrate. And I do want to celebrate death and rebirth, but in my own way. Yet my family is subscribed to society, so we have to celebrate it. We have to. That's not true. We choose to celebrate it in the traditional way, but we also, part of me wants to do it in another way. So I'm using like energy, splitting myself all the time of this, like, well, which one are you going to pick? Like, you either go out on a limb and you do the thing that the way you actually want to celebrate it, or you keep subscribing and spending money into a system that you don't want to fund.
Yeah. But then taking us back to the beginning of the conversation where you said you like to have the option to change your mind, and society's like, you may not change your mind. If you're going to be a Christian, you're going to be a Christian. If you want to celebrate Easter, that makes you a Christian. You can't celebrate spring unless you're a pagan. And if you're a pagan, you can't have an Easter egg. You know, you can't do this. You've got to stand for something, and we're not going to allow you to have a blurry thing where you say that you are going to worship in the way that you want to worship. And like, oh, that is exhausting.
It is exhausting. I feel exhausted by it. Yeah.
But then when you were saying about death and rebirth, and actually, you know, again, thinking of like a church tradition, it's a massive deal. Like, those 3 days are massive, and you have ceremony around that. So you have, you know, different music, different clothes that you wear, different lighting within the church on the different days. And it takes you through those moments. And so I wonder, maybe on those days when you are experiencing your own highs and lows, especially within a cycle, maybe if we had the different clothes that we wear, but it was almost given a sacredness, a ceremony about it, like, not, oh, ha ha, mummy's wearing her period pants, but do you know what I mean? Yes. Like, there's a real difference, isn't there? And oh, actually, oh, mummy's having to eat the chocolates because she's really whatever. No, I'm doing this thing because this is the ceremony that is nourishing my moment of
needing to come back to life after. I don't know. I'm winging it. Yeah. I haven't got a cycle at the moment. That's a whole different conversation. So I haven't got a clue. I like the idea of looking to a tradition like church, where I know that I feel uplifted, and kind of saying, well, how could we take some of those things, like you're saying, create your own thing.
Yeah. I always, that sends down to me creating my own thing is my issue. I think right now I'm just like maybe not in a period of creation. Mm-hmm. And I think it's maybe I'm not okay with that. Maybe it's not that it's wrong, like, to be in that period. It's just I'm not okay. I'm not feeling comfortable because I feel good when I'm creating, or because I am driven by feeling purpose or need, mm-hmm. like being needed or whatever.
Yeah.
And because
I resonate with that.
Yeah. I'm not creating any humans.
Yeah.
And my child is 2.5, and by now been pregnant with all of my other kids by this point.
Yeah.
So I'd forgotten that. And now my period is just like this like never-ending reminder of that. Although I don't want any more children, doesn't mean my body knows that. My head knows that. And, you know, and I very much do not want to have another child. But my body doesn't know that. My body is in a constant, and I think it's like what to do with that, because I still maybe have 20 years left of menstruating. Like my mum maybe, I think, was 55, she went through the menopause, so I've got like maybe 20 years, maybe 18, 17 years, whatever, of this cycle. And it will change, and it will, you know, like it won't necessarily be like exactly 30 days, whatever, or, and that kind of thing. But I feel it needs a purpose. And like you said, it does need to be a sacred experience, especially as my eldest child will probably be beginning a lifetime of cycles as well. I do, you know, I follow a few people on Instagram, and, you know, they celebrate their blood and that kind of thing. None of it, I do like give some blood out to the plants and that kind of thing to like say thank you to Mother Nature. So there are practices there. None of which feel particularly, that one feels good, but it's not enough. Maybe there just needs to be a bit more. I'll put that on the inventory.
Yeah, I think the thing that came up for me just then when you were talking about that was the idea of needing a purpose. But then maybe sometimes we just need to like do the inventory, come up with the practices, and then stay consistent in some of the practices for a while, rather than needing to have the answer right now, because from consistency comes growth. And I think that's again where you look to, you know, I look at like running even and kind of go, oh well, if I'm just consistent with running, yeah, okay, 3 years ago I couldn't run a half marathon, now I can run one a week. Well, 3 years ago I would have liked to just snap my fingers and gone, okay, well, I know the answer, I know how to run a half marathon. No, I had to just do it for 3 years, 4 years, just do the thing. And consistency will then breed that space for creativity. I think also there's something massive that needs to change for motherhood, which society doesn't really do. It feels like once you've had your children, like you've given birth to all four of them now, that's it. Well, now what?
What's the point in you now, women?
Right, that's horrible, isn't it? But that just, and then it feels like, well, you better get back to work to have some kind of purpose and value and a mission. It's like, oh, hold on, there's something more, there's something bigger than that for me that doesn't involve me just doing the society thing. Yeah, okay, if I want to go back to work and do the thing, I want to do it consciously because that's what's right for me. Yeah,
just don't tell me to go and make fucking sourdough.
No. I'm not going to tell
maybe
you
that
to
make sourdough. Maybe that is the right answer. Maybe it's, I mean, on the inventory definitely needs to be the things I actually do find enjoyable.
Exactly.
You know, like cooking, I definitely haven't made enough time for cooking recently, which I know that I enjoy.
Isn't there something quite meditative about the idea of like creating your own bread and seeing it happen? You know, I don't do that. I stick mine in the bread maker and wait for the dough cycle to finish. And I go, kids, let's make pizzas. You know, there's no pause. There's no slowness. There's no... Yeah, I think I'm quite liking the idea of like, well, I like ceremony. So I'm like, how can I make my whole life one ceremony?
Let's create our own.
Yeah, I love good ceremonies.
Yeah, I wonder what. So one thing I wanted to ask you is why? What do you think? What was the reason that you were able to be consistent with the running? Was it because you were doing it with CJ, or was it because not with him, but like because you were spurring each other on, or was it because you already had a dedicated part of yourself that means that you can consistently practice something without a reward? In the sense of, like, for me, praying is a consistent practice where you're not necessarily party to what the reward is. Like, yeah. Is that part of it? Or,
well, I think probably it's fair to say that for me, running became a bit wonky because I did seek reward through it. And I think it's then very easy to find reward. So, for example, I track my runs on the Nike app. So then I have the reward. It's saying to me, you ran, I ran 10.8 kilometers today. And so that's my reward. It's that kind of, the dopamine hit is there. And I had to be really careful. There was one time when CJ and I, in the early days of us getting into running, or CJ getting back into running, me starting it, we were on the Nike app together and I could see his progress and see how many kilometers he'd run a month. And I was constantly like, oh, I've got to do better. So I had to remove myself because I was like, this is really unhealthy. So yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because it can be very easy to do these things, these big outer things that are, for all intents and purposes, good for you, and then end up allowing the ego, the wonky ego, to get involved and go, better find a reward in that. Time for a reward. Where's your gold star? And the world is set up for that, right? My running apps are going, you know, my watch shouts at me, you're leading your smart companion at various points in my run, or goes, your efforts of, you seem really tired today. It's like the whole world is ready to kind of shit on you or give you a gold star, depending on how you perform. So
reward, which is why we need ceremony, and that's why we need soul CPD, because
yeah, and just being consistent, doing the thing. I think I'm also, I have quite an addictive personality, so once I've signed up to something, that's it, I'm all in, like fully all in. I've just got to get to the point of signing up to it,
and I'm then really I'm flaky
fully all in. Oh really? Yeah, so no, I'm very all in.
I've signed up to many different sporting and exercise related activities to give them up within very short space of time, but also sorry, my eBay's all clicking off there. But yeah, I think part of my nature is that, in that I want to do something, and then it doesn't feel good anymore and I don't want to do it anymore. So I haven't ever got to a place with exercise in particular with that, but also the ceremony type stuff, I haven't found that thing that's like, yeah, the consistency of this is making me feel good, so I'm going to keep doing it. But that doesn't mean that I'm not going to find it. It just means right now, I think I have got out of my practice of self-worship, which I know is part of my soul CPD, and I've lost my way with what that is.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter what anyone else, it doesn't matter if meditation works for someone else, or running works for someone else, or bread making works for someone else. It doesn't matter. What is it for you that mm-hmm. feels sacred and ceremonial? And if that is walking or planting something or making sourdough, then do that.
That's so funny. I've literally just this last week gone through the thing I go through every single February, which is me internally promising myself I'm going to sort out my garden. And every yeah. single freaking year I've done it. And talking of outside validation, I was going to Gary, but like, can you see the improvement in the garden since when we first moved in? Like, can you see how much work I've put into it with Dad? And he's just like, it's a bit clearer than it was. That wasn't what I was looking for. Okay. So what are you looking for, Lorna? Why are you asking Gary? Like, what is it? Like, what do you need? You need the reward of someone telling you that the garden looks great so you can keep doing it. Whereas at the moment, it feels like that freaking thankless task. Because do you know what happens in gardens? Shit grows back again. So yeah, you think you've done it. And here we are in fucking spring and the thing's going to grow again. And I have this like internal battle with myself that if I'm out in the garden, who's manning the house? You know, because it's like one or the other.
It just makes me think like community is the answer, right? Because you're on your own trying to sort out your garden, or you, and actually maybe if you were had an allotment in amongst a bunch of older people that also had allotments that could teach you the seasons and teach you how to do your thing.
Yes.
And you could really see the changing season with the wisdom of other people alongside with you, maybe you'd feel more motivated to go. But it's when we are, as women and mothers at the moment, especially who are in this journey, I think all of us feel a little bit like islands. Like we've got to try and figure this thing out and figure out this ceremony and no one's here. And that's really difficult. And then it's really easy to seek the reward. And that's where, you know, like the calm app even, oh, let's reward you for your meditation daily streak. Mm. I don't think that's necessarily healthy. Is it good if it does it? Yeah, okay, whatever. But you know, it's, and then things can become very overwhelming. Like I would say panicky when I looked today at my podcast app. Which podcast do I want to listen to when I go for a run? It feels like everything's vying for my attention. Now I've got to try and pick which thing feels most in alignment today, but I know things aren't going to it's too much. Okay, so what works for me? I don't know. Night prayer.
Yeah, well, yesterday was night prayer.
Yesterday was night prayer, yeah. But also the commitment to that is we've said we'll do it for the next 40 days. We're going to do it for Lent. So then there's commitment there. And I think there's two of us doing it. And also we know that there's a bigger community out there doing the same thing with us. Mm. Doesn't matter. I don't know who the people are. It's cool. It was the last prayer was so lovely. It was something along the lines of, Lord, visit this house. Send away all evils and leave your angels guarding around the house. And I was like, yes, I've got angels everywhere guarding my house. Love it. It was amazing.
That reminds me of a spiritual practice that I learned from somebody where you wrap your house in white light.
Yeah.
Like she described it as you could do it with anything like a bow or whatever, or you can choose whatever it is that you want to see it as. So you visualize your house and then you surround it with something that's protective, whatever, whenever you feel the need to feel safer. I like that. Yeah. There's always a way to find what you need.
For you. Yeah, totally. Well, this is, this morning or like an hour and a half ago, we said we were going to record a podcast on screen time. This is way more interesting.
Yeah,
way more interesting.
Maybe say so ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Is that okay to say that myself?
Yes. Yes, you should. I think it's very interesting. I hope everyone else finds it interesting. I found it absolutely exactly what I needed today. So.